Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
I always say that my home is my place of clarity. So when I come home, I want to make sure that I am in this, my home allows me to have clarity. My home doesn't cloud my mind. I have a space in my home will allow me to be able to make the best decisions that I need to make in my life.
Welcome to Everyone's Talking Money podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Game. There's no judgment, no dumb questions, just smart conversations about you and your money. So come on in and grab a seat. Everyone is welcome here. Hello there and welcome back to the show. It is so good to be with you today. Okay, I want you to raise your hand if you are as much of an HGTV junkie as I am. I have to admit, a little embarrassing, but during the pandemic, I think I actually wore out HGTV. I watched just about every show, and sometimes I watched the shows on repeat. So I think if I had to choose another career, I would want to be an interior designer. I probably don't have the skills to do it, but I just love learning how to cultivate unique spaces. And certainly not spend a lot of money doing so. That's why I was so excited to chat with our guest, Brea Ells. Brea is a design and construction specialist and is on an upcoming HGTV show, Buy It or Build It, where she creates and shapes interiors that are empathetic to each family's lifestyles. And yes, I did totally geek out talking to Brea. She is such a unique and special human who is sharing all her tips on how to remodel your home on a budget. We talk about why Brea says you should ask yourself the question why 7 times when it comes to remodeling. Things like, why do I want to remodel my kitchen? Why do I think I want an open kitchen? Why do I like this tile and not that tile? You get where I'm going. You ask yourself the question why and go deeper and deeper and deeper to find the meaning. She also shares why you should spend money on items in your house that you have an emotional connection to and that are just going to make you feel happy when you're in your house. We talk about how to save money when you're remodeling, easy changes that will get you the best bang for your buck, how to create a home that truly feels authentic no matter what your budget is, and so much more. All right, let's get talking. Brea, it is so amazing to have you on the show. Before we hit the record button, I told you I watched a YouTube video of a kitchen that you designed this morning, and I've just been salivating ever since. So thanks for being here with us.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on the show. And I'm glad that you took a little time to watch some of the YouTube videos there. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm a huge, huge home design fan. I think in like an alternate life, I was some sort of designer, and I just, something about home and spaces, just, it does something to my soul. So I'm really excited for this conversation. I was also reading up on your website, and I really love how you say this. You believe that our emotional well-being and physical spaces are interrelated, and I couldn't agree more. I'm curious, what happens to our emotions when we live in a space that really represents like who we are?
Well, the great thing is there's two, right? There's the performance of the being, the self, and also productivity. And I refer to both because when our space is conducive to positivity, it helps us not only with our emotion, but also how we perform as human. Emotion-wise, if you, for example, natural daylight, having biophilic design included in your space by having some plants, some greenery, even if it's superficial, artificial. I mean, it's not real plants, but you still want to have a sense of connection to nature, because as human beings, that's one of our first connection is from the being to the earth. So for us, when we think about the connection of the being to the physical space, it goes back to environmental psychology, where that both of them combine, both the being and the environment, they're in sync. There's not one without another, right?
Yeah.
So having a positive space based on, for example, I always tell clients is that when you travel the world, where did you have your most cherished memory? Where did you feel the most happiest? You could take a piece of that and put it, transplant it into your home, wherever home is. So if you went to Italy, let's say you went to Porto, you had amazing Porto wine, and you're like, you know what, I want to bring a bottle back home. Or you could say, I want to bring back a piece of the vines, and you could turn that vine into art. But every time you look at it, the dry vine, you think about your experience. And that puts a smile on your face. It rejuvenates your spirits. It regenerates some memories. So that's what I mean, that there's a connectivity between emotions and the space. And sometimes we're not cognizant of it because we're so into the everyday life.
Right.
We come home, drop our bags, cook, go to bed. We're monotone. We're doing the same thing over, not realizing how just by changing your light bulb from an incandescent light to an LED natural light, the difference it could make to your spirit.
Oh, I love it. You're speaking my language. My husband and I just recently moved to Asheville, North Carolina, and we rented a house just for a year because we wanted to kind of suss out, do we really like it here? But when we, like the first week in the house, I looked at him and I said, okay, this might sound a little bizarre, but I feel like my spirit has actually lived in this house before. And he was like, what do you mean by that? I'm like, I don't know. I have such a sense of home and belonging that I haven't had any other place. It was like one of those very surreal experiences. And I'm thinking back over the last couple of years in the pandemic, how most of us have really thought about this idea of home and what home means to you. What do you think has kind of changed in the last couple of years to help us go through this process of really finding like an authenticity in our home?
Well, I think the last few years I think authenticity in homes has been trying because of the social media aspect of that, like the social media component. A lot of people are not truly designing their spaces for themselves, but mostly to be on stage to showcase on social media. So for me, I think we've lost that sense of authenticity in interiors. That before there was no pictures, there was no Instagram. So people literally were designing genuine spaces and authentic spaces based on their preference, their personal preference or memory or their style. Now we're seeing more spaces at home are being designed and to be Instagram, you know, Instagrammable. Versus, okay, do you really want a white sofa? You have four kids. Like, is that practical? Do you really want to have a marble countertop when you have five kids spilling juices, lemon juice on it? It's going to get damaged. So I think we've lost some sense of authenticity in our interiors, not saying that there are not people doing it. There are. And this is one thing I cherish the most throughout my design experience when I'm with a client. It's like, okay, what does authenticity mean to you? Not to the world, not what Instagram is trending right now. Do you really like white couches, white walls? Do you want color? So I think the sense of home, the definition of the sense of home in the last years with social media has changed drastically. And it's changed to, okay, more as a stage space versus a truly authentic space. And I just wanted to touch, I wanted to make a point of what you said you experienced when you went to your house, to that house you moved in. And honestly, that is an environmental cue that is capped. It's a memory that you have from childhood or a sense of place you've experienced before. And there might be something that you've captured in the space, but you can't really pinpoint it, right? Ooh. So there's like a childhood memory where you were happy, an environment where you were happy, and there's some environmental cues that were similar to that space, and that it just triggers those emotions, that emotion of, well, being at home, that sense of home that you feel. That happened to me, actually. I went to the south of France, and I was visiting a friend, and I went to her friend's house, and I got to the house and I experienced a sense of home like you did. I was like, oh my God, I've been here before. I felt like I've been here before. And on the second day it hit me. I was like, oh my God, this reminds me of my grandmother's home. The rocking chair on the front patio. My grandmother had a wooden table also. And she had a wooden table, like a raw edge wooden table. She had exposed canteens that flowers, all her flour, her pasta and everything. So it was just all those small things. And I'm like, oh my God, that was exactly how my grandmother's house was. And that was one of my favorite places to be. And that's one of the places I did feel at home, was at my grandmother's house. So I think it going you to that home, that house that you lived in, it could have been, it's a cue from a past space environment that you cherished or you enjoyed being in.
I love that. Okay, now I'm going to have to tune my brain in. And be like, come on, memory, you know, come back to me. Because it was so, like you're describing, it was so powerful of a feeling. And I've always kind of let my intuition guide me of wherever I've lived. But I've just never had this experience before. And I think that really goes back to what you're saying, this connection of our emotions and mm-hmm. and where we live. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk a little bit about remodeling. I think that, wow, there's just so many different questions I have for you on this topic. You're one of the experts in this. I want to start with, what are some things maybe we need to think about if we're in that frame of mind of okay, we want to remodel our house, but we're just not sure where to start or how to go about it. What are some of the things we need to think about before we actually plan a remodel?
I think the biggest thing is to really walk the space, walk the house, right? Really sit in it, feel it, see, and be honest with yourself. What doesn't work? What about the space that you, what you like and what you don't like, and understand the why. Often I see a lot of clients go into houses and they're remodeled. They're like, well, I want to change this kitchen. I want a fully open kitchen. And I'm like, do you really need an open kitchen? Or is it because you're so used to it? Talk a little bit more, why do you need an open kitchen? And start understanding the reason or the rationale between why you want certain things, right? Because sometimes you go into a house that has an architectural it's from an architectural period that doesn't require an open kitchen. So I think the first thing I always tell clients, sit in the house, let's walk the space, and also look at the space from your eyes as the user, the end user, not me as a designer. I'm just here to make sure that the space is going to function to your best capacity, and also it's going to be able to sustain
your lifestyle, how you live in your house, your daily lifestyle. So I always say, one, assess the space and be honest and question yourself. I always say X, Y seven times, like Lean Six Sigma, you know, why, okay, yeah. Why I want to open space. Okay, well, I want it because it just feels open. Why do I really want to open space? What does open mean to me? Why open? Why couldn't it be semi-enclosed? So I think it's just really assessing the environment and the house itself. And I think, too, one of the biggest challenge I do see a lot of homeowners going into remodeling that always hits an obstacle, not understanding the cost of things, right? Get a good understanding of how much does a vanity cost? How much does the sink that you like cost? Start doing some window shopping to see the price of items that you're attracted to, because then that will more or less give you a sense of where your budget in terms of material will lie without even taking about the labor or the contracting or whatnot, but just gauge a sense of how much things cost. I think that's a critical going, especially a first time remodeler, someone that's remodeling for the first time. It's really gauging the sense of costs. How much, what's the price for the things that we love?
I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/etm and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com joindeletelier.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeletelier.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. "Talkin' Money" under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Yeah, so talking about cost, I know when I owned a home a couple homes ago, we put in new windows, and I wasn't thinking that, you know, new windows were expensive. It wasn't necessarily a decorative. It was just a necessary item. And the realtor had said to me, "Oh no, like those new windows are going to add a lot of extra value to your house." And of course, I know kitchens and bathrooms, you get a lot of bang for your buck, but maybe walk us around like a sort of fictitious house, if you will. And like, what are some of the best spaces for us to remodel to make that bang for our buck?
The first space would be your kitchen. The kitchen is one that gives you the highest value return on, that will give you the highest return on your money in terms of the price of steel, right? The kitchen is where, first of all, the kitchen is one of the most expensive rooms in a house because of the fact that it has the plumbing, the mechanical, and the electrical component, and also cabinetry itself is very expensive per linear feet. So the kitchen itself is one of the most, it should be, if you're thinking about long-term, if you're thinking about the revalue on the sale, it will definitely be the kitchen. Then secondary would be your bathrooms. Afterward, I would say it's your living rooms. Living room in terms of thinking about storage. I do thinking about where your media center look like, your storage. If it's a city that is cold, where fireplace is a dominant feature in the living space, because some cities like Miami, we don't need a fireplace because we're in warm. So look at the fireplace design, the interior architecture of the living room is critical. And that, those would be your spaces, your kitchen, bathroom, then you go to living room. Nowadays, after post, well, we're still in COVID era.
But unfortunately.
due to COVID, home outdoor spaces have become very valuable.
Ooh, yeah.
In the appraisal of a home. How does the outdoor space connect to the interior? Is there a livable outdoor space? Is it covered? So I think outdoor space now, in the last 2 years, we've seen a great focus on the development, the design development of those spaces. Where can we go outside and have friends over, sit and have a living space, a dining space outdoor? And that's why also we've seen the increase of sales in pools in the warm cities, is because people, due to COVID, were spending much more time at home and were spending a lot of time outdoors. And I think that's one thing we are going to, capture from COVID. Well, we're going to still maintain from COVID is spending more time outdoors, right?
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time outdoors. Pre-COVID, I didn't, but now I do. So I think those are the spaces that as a homeowner going in and thinking about resale value, it's definitely your kitchen number one and your bathrooms.
So are there ways, if maybe we don't have the biggest budget to remodel, but maybe we're wanting to freshen up some things in the kitchen or the bathroom, or Are there ways to do that where we can have a freshen up, but without needing a huge sum of money?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's always ways to, you know, to have, I always say, let's maximize impact and minimize cost.
In I like that. One of,
yeah. It's because not everyone has the same financial capacity, right? So sometimes clients come and they tell me, okay, this is their budget. I'm like, okay, for this budget, this will be the best recourse in order to get this freshen up free. For kitchens, one of the biggest cost saving item is basically repainting your, it's resurfacing your kitchen cabinets, painting them. If they're able to be painted, paint them over. And it depends on what is their existing conditions. If their existing condition, if they're in good condition, just having that resurface, having it repainted will be a number one saving. Do not move any cabinetry anywhere at all. Let everything stays in right where they are. It is their existing position. And then also the second big saving is, depending on the countertop you have, by doing a change in your countertop will definitely give your space, your kitchen, a really, like, if it's a countertop, let's say you had formica, you're in an old home, you could change that to a quartz. Even if you don't take a level one quartz, you could get a level five quartz, which is a lower end quartz, but you definitely could make a change with your countertops. And then one of the jewel piece of a kitchen that I always tell client is your faucet.
So really?
For me, I believe in faucets and hardware. I think between hardware and faucets, that could drastically change the look of a kitchen. So I always say, hey, your hardwares are your jewels of your kitchen. That's your little jewelry. That's your earrings. That's your, you know, your ring. So you want to put a little bit of money in there. And also your faucets, because when you go into the kitchen, that's like a statement piece, especially when you have a sink that is on an open, not on a wall, but in an open space. You're looking at the sink from all four from all four line sides. So that's, faucet in itself is a statement piece. So in kitchens, that's definitely. In bathrooms, I always say for bathrooms is, if the tile is a tile, existing tile can be repainted, you could repaint it. If the walls, if you're looking at the exterior wall of the bathroom, I always say doing wall paneling with wood. That's inexpensive. It could really freshen up the bathroom. And for all of these spaces, the one biggest change in environment is paint. People underestimate the power of paint sometimes. Changing a paint color in a wall, in a bathroom, in a kitchen can make a drastic difference. Coupled with marrying with those little other changes you make, and you'll have a pretty decent kitchen in your hand for a remodel with not a lot of money.
I like that you could do simple things, like you say, and new faucets, new hardware, the jewelry, but the things that you visually see, because that goes back to the beginning of our conversation, talking about the emotional, the feeling that you get when you walk in your house. And I talk on this show all the time about money from a mindset and a mindfulness and a different perspective, that something as simple and yet extremely important as walking in your home and feeling that sense of comfort helps you to maybe feel less stressful, feel less anxious about everything in the world. And then ultimately you can make better decisions, whether that's with your money or in your relationships. You're in this place of comfort. And I think that it's easy for us to not think that that's important. So something as simple as changing out a faucet might actually change so many things for you.
Oh yes, for sure. And just to, and also it's, I always say that my home is my place of clarity. So when I come home, I want to make sure that I am in this, my home allows me to have clarity. My home doesn't cloud my mind. I have a space in my home will allow me to be able to make the best decisions that I need to make in my life. So, I think spending money, when it comes to money, the value of money is very subjective, as you know. But however, for someone like me, and I always try to tell clients, is that I will spend money. Let's say you like a light fixture, right? If this light fixture has some type of emotional connection, it makes you feel positive a certain way, make sure it's something you truly like. If the light fixture is $500, that's $500. The life cycle on a light fixture could last 10 to 15 years and even more so. So if I purchase this, this is something that I could take to another house, but it's something that becomes a cherished item, a moment of my home. Yeah. So I think it's all about it's all about tying a value to that finite economical value to certain things that you have in your space. Another great thing is, like, I would say, when I mean clarity, it's that I'm a person, I have a lot of things on my mind. I work as a business owner. My brain is like a hamster on a wheel.
Me too. Me too. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet somebody else who right? works this way. Yes.
It never stops. So for me, I don't do well in cluttered space. I don't do well in color space that has a lot of color, vibrant colors, because it's just a trigger to my, it just triggers my brain. My brain just speeds up. Like I get,
right.
I feel cumbersome. And so my house is usually neutral color, whites, pop of color in the art, because I have I appreciate art a lot. I will enjoy the color of art because if I select the art, it's something that I like. But the background of my house is always neutral whites, taupes, neutral grays, because it's just who I am. I'm sensitive to noise, just not noise, audio noise, but also physical noise. So my countertops are always uncluttered and I need storage. Even if behind my storage, everything is a mess, it's fine, but I just can't see the mess.
Right.
So those for me as a human, myself in my space, those are things that are important to me to have clarity. I have friends that does well in clutter. Like they love to have it and it's not clutter to them. And that's why sometimes I don't like using the word clutter, because it's like, okay, well, it may seem clutter to me, but for that person, it's not clutter. They have an eclectic taste. They need to be surrounded by things that they need to see them. They need to always have that visual connection, which I may not want to, I don't do well in it. So
right.
I think that goes back to the finances and what you're spending. It has to also tie just back to your emotions.
Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress toward your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters, and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into The Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to The Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in The Daily Book Club.
We've all spent more time with family lately. It can feel like old times, but your mind is on the future too, and what you can do to shape it. At Sandy Spring Bank, we work with clients to help them grow and protect their money with wealth management, trust services, and insurance, so they can enjoy today and ultimately pass along their wealth. We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about your dreams. Visit sandyspringbank.com/wealth. Wealth and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not guaranteed, and may lose value.
And really knowing what works for you, like you're saying, knowing what kind of space you want, what kind of space you work best in, you live best in, is really important. And thinking obviously about the last 2 years and even the place we're in now, that with the economy, things are more expensive. We got inflation, supply chain issues, all of these different things. Are there specific ways right now to save on remodeling? Like even things maybe like going to secondhand stores or other places to buy cheaper fixtures or cabinets or whatever it might be to like kind of work within the environment we're living in right now?
Well, right now, I think prices of construction material, anything that has to do remodel, is one of the most expensive, right? With the fuel crisis, with logistics and everything. So right now it's going to be the most expensive time to remodel. However, there's ways for kitchens. You could do scratch and dents, right? Appliances.
Ooh, okay.
You don't need to buy brand new appliances. You could buy used appliances, which refer to scratch and dents, which there's shop stores that they do offer those. That's one way to save on your appliances. Thrifting is great, but thrifting is especially great for furniture, not necessarily for architectural pieces. I think one of the main architectural pieces we could find is often lighting fixture and for the interior. And secondary, there's also what we call an architectural salvage yard. I love to go in there because, for example, what they do is that all the historical homes or old homes that were demolished, they will save like the doors, the fireplace mantles.
Oh,
so you could go to an architectural salvage yard and you could purchase, let's say if you're changing 6 doors in your house, even your front door, you could purchase it from an architectural salvage yard and just have a carpenter finish it, do the refinishing, clean it out, restain it or paint it. And you could bring a piece of character into a new home by just using those architectural salvage pieces. So Doors, fire mantles, and lighted fixtures are typically things that you could actually purchase by thrifting or going to a salvage yard.
And another thing also
save money on is what we call remnants. Let's say if you're changing your bathroom and you want to change a countertop, you could either go to a stone yard and ask them to see their remnant pieces, and you could purchase those because they're usually very discounted. Or you could also think about using epoxy or an epoxy, or which is, can be less expensive on your countertop. So those are different ways you could definitely save money when you're thinking about remodeling.
Those are great tips. Yeah, I love that. It's like it just opens your brain up to think about all the possibilities that you could work with almost any budget. You talked a little bit about how you like to have your house the space that really feels good to you. Tell us a little bit about your own design style and like how that's evolved over the years.
Well, I'm Caribbean. I come from the island, right? I'm Jamaican Haitian.
Nice.
So I come from a very vibrant culture. I grew up with vibrant colors around me. Our art is very vibrant. We have primary color. We use a lot of primary colors in our environments. So I was raised with color. Everywhere is color. However, in our own household, my mom was not a big fan of color that much. so she always
the irony.
Had, yes. Well, my father also wasn't a big fan of color. So they always had neutral tones in the house, but a lot of wood. Because from the Caribbean, we do a lot of carpentry with wood, red wood. So there was a lot of like contrast, high contrast, heavy contrasted color between the wood, the light, the textile, the fabric, and also the outdoor space will bring in the fabric. So over the years, I was always attracted to the same with paint, having the paint being the bold color and having the neutral tones and the wood. And it's only after like I went to grad school, to architectural school and studying environmental psychology, and I started to understand how the interior preferences is really attached to my childhood.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, oh my God, this is why I like these things. And while I was in architecture school, I started to say, okay, these are what my parents like. What do I like? Like I started to dive into more in developing my design aesthetic. And I actually through research and I leaned towards the Danish, the Nordic aesthetic. And also I do lean towards the Japanese aesthetic. So a combination, which is a very familiar term right now, is Japanese. So I love the warmth of wood. I still love the wood, but coming with a little bit more of oak. I still love neutral backdrop palettes, which is basically my primary color would be a neutral color, which is white tones, cream tones, gray tones. I still have that, but also most importantly to me, it's in my interior space is that touch of character, right? That sense of space. When someone comes into the space, although it's not your own, but you could see the person's story. You could feel the sense of home that this person has created. I think that's really important, especially when I always say that when friends come over, they're in distress. When they step into my home, I want them to feel comforted without physically being by me. That my space itself gives you a certain type of comfort. So I think in my design, as I'm still evolving, you know.
I love that.
Try to find a balance of the Danish principle, which I never could pronounce correctly, Hygge.
Yes.
Well, it's called Hygge. I forgot. I've been to Danish so many times, I still can't pronounce it. But their sense of home, which is tied to bringing in a little bit of the nature, light colors, wood, blues, gray tones or not. And also finding that piece, adding some character that is tied to the homeowner. What is your characteristic? And also not forgetting about the architectural character of the home. I definitely like to stay in tune with the architecture of the building or the architecture of the house that I'm designing. I would definitely do want to be designing a house that is a craftsman home, and I enter the house and it's super modern. There's a big disconnect from the exterior to the interior space. So it's a juggling act. So for me, it's mostly about creating a space that is home, that is calm and soothing, and also that has a touch of character, whatever that may be, to the homeowner.
And I love talking about it in terms of a story that you're sharing. When somebody walks in your house, like they can feel you, they can feel your story. I think that's so powerful and probably overlooked a lot when we're in our spaces, that we could kind of look around and say, hey, are there ways where we can maybe evoke more of ourselves in this house? It doesn't even have to be spending a lot of money. Maybe it's just moving some things around or something that just feels a little bit better. I love that. Well,
yeah.
You've also got a new HGTV show coming, Buy It or Build It. Tell us indeed. A little bit about it, because I'm, of course, an HGTV junkie over here. So,
yes, I do. It's going to be here in within the month or two. So I actually am on the show as a designer. I design two custom homes. I'm an interior architect, so I designed from scratch. The couple had the I designed some homes. And it was interesting because I had to design the houses in such a short time, matching their lifestyle to this custom home they want. I did also a major renovation project that was really great. It was the outcomes were really good. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy the show and enjoy the design that was portrayed in the spaces. It was interesting. It's in Dallas. It's shot in Dallas. And the couples were amazing. I loved working with all of them. And that's the great thing about design, is that each client is their own person, right? Each client is their own unique. And I think in this going through the show, it emphasizes that notion of we're all unique individuals. We all have different wants and needs, right? We all want our space a certain way. And I think the show is going to portray that a lot, because also, although there's some commonality, but you're going to see mostly the difference also. But it was great. I'm super excited. I can't wait to come out to see the reaction and just everybody's feedback. It's interesting because they did do a soft release of one of the episodes in December. And as a designer, I can't even put it in words exactly, just to see, like, there's over a million people that are seeing my design it's like, I feel like they're going into my brain.
Yes.
They're going into my mental space and see what I do, like how I think, what I do in my, I don't know. I feel like I was sharing a private part of me to the world. And it was weird just looking at it. I think most people go through that, especially when it's the first time you're broadcasted on a TV. That's like,
right. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, there I am.
Yes. And it's like, oh my God. So it was surreal because I was watching with my brother. I'm like, oh my God, I'm on TV. He was like, yeah, you're on TV. I was like, no, it's not just me. My design is on TV. Do you understand this? Like,
yeah.
And then I'm going crazy because I'm like, what if they don't like it? Because we, as creators, we go through that, right? We create, then we, after creating, we're like, okay, well, what if it's not received the way that we want it to be received? What if there's not light? What if they don't like it?
Right.
And I'm like, well, guess what? If they don't, they don't. If they do, they do, because it's already done.
It's in the can, as they say.
Yeah, it's already done. I'm right here. And I just have to welcome the feedback, go back, you know, and that's the process. That's the journey as an interior designer or creative individual, is that we only could create, and as much as we create, we have to be open to receiving the feedback and improving and onto the next project. So I'm super excited. I can't wait. I hope everyone enjoys the show, and hopefully we'll see, we'll be back for season two.
Fingers crossed, right? Yeah.
Yes. Toes crossed, fingers crossed.
Everything crossed. So, all right, let's say I'm listening and I'm jazzed. I want to do some sort of remodel. Is there like a checklist or an action list, maybe some things we can think about of how we can really start infusing ourselves more into our spaces?
I would think about each room and itself. I usually go with the method of storytelling, right? What is the story that you want your space to tell? How do you want to be represented in your space? I think we usually need to start with that. A lot of times I see people running into design remodeling, but not truly having a sense of what they want, right? So I think the first main big item on your checklist is, okay, what do I want from this remodel? Not just the physical part of it, but the emotional part of it. And then I go back to understand the price, the cost. So let's say you're doing a design, you're remodeling your bathroom, right? Well, start writing down what is typically in a bathroom: a vanity, a toilet bowl, a sink, a mirror, light fixtures, your bathtubs, your wall tile, your shower tile, your floor tile, right? If you start itemizing these things and going online shopping, oh my God, I like this marble sink. Well, that marble sink costs $2,800. So now you start tallying it. Everything that you've liked, well, I like that faucet. That faucet costs $500, you know? And when you start, because I think there's a big conflict between design and cost. A lot of the times clients love certain design, but not understanding the cost of it. So that goes back to us going on to social media. We're on Pinterest. Oh my God, I love this bathroom. And that happens often. Some clients will tell me, oh my God, Brea, I want this bathroom. This is my inspiration. I'm like, okay. And what exactly do you like about the bathroom? I like everything. Okay. Well, I just looking at this bathroom is going to cost you around $20,000. And oh my God, how so? Well, the fixture, light fixture itself is $1,500. The faucet itself is $500. The shower system itself is $2,500. So, and they're like, oh my God, I didn't even realize that. I'm like, yes. So I think that's the second critical component going into any remodel is understanding the cost of things and also taking your design and just itemizing it. Like, look at the bathroom. I was given an example, the sink. Once you start adding those up, that gives you an idea of where you will be in terms of cost of remodel. And if you add 40%, 50% cost to that as your cost of labor, then you add a 20% contract into it. That will give you an idea of how much this remodel will cost you. And a 5% for your 3 to 5% for your interior designer, that's going to be doing the design for you. But that is really where you start understanding. And then you're able to scale back, right? You're able to take a step back and say, hey, maybe I need to scale back. And maybe I don't need the marble sink. Maybe I could just do with the standard sink, or maybe the vanity that I wanted is out, not within my budget. And maybe these are my options. So I think it's really understanding what is your design and what is the cost, the price of that design that you want initially. And there's nothing wrong, like I tell my clients, with having a wish list, right? You want to have a wish list, that's fine. We are attracted to what we're attracted. Sometimes I would see a handbag, I'm attracted to it until I flip the price and it's like $8,000. And I'm like, well, nope, that's not in my realm. So I think it's really understanding the cost, the price of everything. And then also thinking about the time, right? How long does it take to construct? A lot of times client doesn't really think about, oh my God, this is going to take 2-3 months for them to do it. Not thinking about the logistics. Is there only one bathroom in the house? Okay. During that time, you won't be able to use your bathroom if it's being remodeled. Where are you going to use where are you going to be taking a shower? If you have a two bathroom, that's more easy because you have a secondary bathroom. So just think about the logistics and how you're going to be doing your logistics while the house is under construction. Because living in a house that's under construction is like a war zone. You're going to have noise. There's a lot of noise. There's, as much as you want to mitigate dust, there's pollution. So I think it's all that is to take in the environmental factor of the conditions of a construction space, taking the cost, understanding what you want as a design, and understand that price, more or less roughly how much it would cost without even engaging an interior designer or a contractor, but more or less see where you are financially. Is it feasible?
Yeah. Well, Brea, seriously, I'm fangirling over here, and I cannot wait to watch Buy or Build It. So tell everyone listening where they could go if they want to connect with you, if they want to learn more about your services. Where do they find you?
Hey, well, you can connect with me via Instagram, Brea Ells. at Bria Els is my Instagram handle. And then for my company, we're at Atelier Honnête. And you could just reach out to me there. I'm always in my DMs, believe it or not.
You're so, one of the few, right?
I am always in my DMs. So feel free to reach out.
And yes, I have been searching my brain for that connection as to why my new house feels so familiar to me. It's so weird. I haven't figured it out yet. But when I do, I'm definitely going to let you know. I love that Brea shared how important spending money on items that you have this emotional connection to are, and how creating your dream home isn't about who spends the most money. It's really about creating a space that just feels good to you. With a few of her tricks, you can definitely upgrade your home without breaking the bank. That is always going to be my MO. If you enjoyed this episode, I have two favors to ask. The first is to share this episode with a friend or family member, someone who you know might enjoy it as well. And the second is to go to any podcast player you're listening to right now and leave an honest review for the show. I'll see you back here in a few days to keep talking money.
Rakuten helps you be a smarter shopper and save money on just about everything. People all have things they need to buy, whether it's home essentials or a self-care treat just for you. With Rakuten, you get cash back on clothes, groceries, travel, and much, much more. Even better, you can stack cash back on top of other deals like store sales and credit card points. In case you're wondering, the stores on Rakuten are the ones you know and love, and lots of cool ones waiting to be discovered, including Target, Lowe's, and Nike. When it comes to savvy shopping and saving money, Rakuten is a no-brainer. It's free and easy to join. Just go to Rakuten.com now or download the Rakuten app today. That's Rakuten.